Tim Webby is with us today, co-director and producer of Wales Rats and Cody, which is a beautiful film. We had a cordial with Mike Jonathan about this one some time ago, but the doco has premiered at the Doc Edge Festival, is now being released as a seven-part series on RNZ following the Palata Whānau's efforts to revive traditional whale harvesting knowledge and environmental stewardship. It's always a great pleasure to have a cordial with you, Kim. Thanks very much for joining us on Wātere again. Tuahine, tēnā koe, Kim.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koutou katoa. And I can assure you that everybody in the documentary keeps their clothes on.
Tēnā koe. Yeah, well, except for the tohora, which flensing's the term, is it not? And I really want to just acknowledge this rangatira, Hori Parata, who helps to talk about the connection here. I've heard the rich corridor of the connection between Wales and Cody, Kim, but you've taken it a step further. Pleased that it's going out as a seven-part RNZ series. What were the biggest creative differences in shaping the story for these two different formats? You've got the long form and now cutting it up into series formats. Tell us how the film's been received, and I'm hoping it's been satisfying for you, having put so much work into it.
Aye, it's been received beautifully by audiences who were able to really follow the journey of Hori and Te Kauri Nui Parata, his son, over 7 years. And I think having that time to let their characters and their personalities develop and to cover many aspects of the tohora, the tohora's connection with the Kauri tree, and how that connection was being used to help to try and heal the Kauri tree from Kauri dieback disease, as well as their other mahi around preserving the kiore and ensuring that there's a sanctuary for the kiore in Aotearoa for this taonga species that was brought from Polynesia. In terms of, you asked how we sort of did the documentary series, which has just launched on RNZ, and then the cinematic feature documentary, which is 30 minutes shorter. We actually edited the series first and then took 35 minutes out of it to make the feature documentary. And the feature documentary, it's a different beast. It's made for cinema. It's a lot more kind of atmospheric. There's a lot more room just to let it breathe and let the audience just be entirely embedded in that world. The documentary series is more informational, more educational. As I say, it's 30 minutes longer, so it's meatier, but it still retains the sort of awe and majesty of what Hori, Te Kauri Nui and all those whale people do. Hope so.
Yeah, tēnā koe. 7 years is a long time to spend creating a piece like this, and now it's been, is it disrespectful to say cut up to create another format for it? But what opportunities did the episodic RNZ version give you that perhaps weren't possible in the festival release, particularly when telling this story of Hori and Te Kauri Nui over the past 7 years?
Yeah, I think the series enabled us to really develop the relationship between Hori and Te Kauri Nui and really bring forth their characters and their personalities. they're quite different. You know, Hori is in his 80s and Te Kauri Nui is now 28 years old, and he was 21 when we first met him. He just, you know, quit university 6 months short of a double degree to return home. He'd made the conscious decision to learn from his father. In saying that, he learned from his father from day dot, because he went with his father everywhere. He went to his first whale cultural harvest when he was about 18 months old. He went to all the hui with his father. But he made that decision that the world of Western Mātauranga was not for him, and he wanted to immerse himself further in the world of Mātauranga Māori through his father. And then over that sort of seven-year period, we were able to follow him from having his first turn on the knife, right through to leading his first whale harvest, which was up at 90 Mile Beach, a whale called Te Waimahururu. And he was quite challenged in his leadership during that harvest. But he came through the other side, he learned from it, and he developed his own kind of space in the environment, caring for ngahere. He's got a team and they do pest and weed management. And he became a father in his own right. He's now the father of two sons. And during that process, you know, Hori was starting to get older, starting to suffer some ill health. And slowly he just handled that mantle over to his son. And I think it's so important to see that intergenerational mātauranga being preserved in the first place, well, revived in the first place with Hori, then preserved and then handed down to the future generations so that it doesn't get lost. What a precious taonga.
And it's wonderful that you've been able to record aspects of this, which now creates a taonga for ourselves. I recall a conversation with a beaching of a whale, and you know, many people didn't know how to respond, didn't have the equipment needed for the flensing of the whale, didn't know the karakia or the processes, and even as you've just touched on there, the naming of the taonga that was beached, our people used to regard them exactly as that because of what they provided to the wider whānau. But I guess at the core of this coverage, if you will, is this respect that we need going forward. So whales will continue to beach. How then do we respond? And even as you touched on the youthful nature, or the, you know, relative youth, I guess, of the sun and the issues, not of seniority, but of transferal of knowledge to him. And it might have surprised others that this young fella sort of knew his way around this and how to go about it. There's some very intriguing kaupapa happening with a program or a celebration of this aspect of Te Ao Māori. And then, of course, we've got the Kauri dieback, and I was familiar that Hori advanced an idea of putting poultices around the base of trees with Rongoā Māori in it, treating the Kauri as respectfully as we would ourselves. Did you grow from it yourself too, Kim, during the years that you followed this kaupapa? And I guess if you did, then we all can.
Absolutely. I learned so much and grew so much. It helped to really deepen my understanding and my own connection with Te Tai Ao, and certainly with the Kauri dieback disease. You know, Hori partnered with Tohe Ashby, the Tohunga Rongoā in the north, and together they worked on finding a way to try and help heal the Kauri, the lesions that the Kauri get on their skin, on their bark, with the Kauri dieback disease. And what they've found is that they can heal up those lesions, and they also work by spraying rongoā through plant medicine around the grounds. And of course, karakia is such an essential part of that whole process. They've found that they can heal up the lesions, but so far they haven't been able to completely cure the trees. And that sits alongside Western medicine, who is really in the same space. But I know for Tohe and for Hori, it's the spiritual aspect, it's the wairua aspect, and it's that connection between the whale and the Kauri that is, you know, the key for them to finding a cure. Mm.
Well, it's available to us all now, and thanks to the big effort that you put in 7 years in production's a long time, but not as long as you were on, but nowhere near as long as you were on Fair Go, Kim Webby.
Oh my goodness, and it's so sad to see that program has gone, along with many others and current affairs, and
You've screened, have you screened, those were the days, my friend. This is screened overseas as well, no doubt?
So far it hasn't, no. We're applying for a few film festivals, and we are definitely hoping that it will get some screenings overseas. certainly through the Indigenous network that both Mike and I have, you know, within the communities overseas. So, yep, fingers crossed.
Tēnā koe, how's the old man now?
Oh, he's great. He's great. He came down to Auckland for the opening along with Te Kauri Nui and also his daughter Tanya, who's recently returned to the north to help the mahi again. She was a stalwart up till about 10, 15 years ago. He's great. We had a beautiful time. He was able to kōrero to the people in a Q&A session after the opening in Takapuna. Ngāti Whātua came in and did a beautiful mihi whakatau before the screening, just to welcome these northerners down. He is just so, he's so happy. He's kind of a lot more Ngāwari than he used to be. He can just chill out, relax, go and do the kaupapa that he wants to do, but he doesn't feel pressured to just be everywhere and everything for everybody. And as he says, you know, he's done all the fighting. Now Te Kauri Nui and others can hopefully come in behind him and just carry on the mahi.
Tēnā koe, we're indebted to him, to them, because they give us a glimpse into our old ways, Kim. And thanks to you, thanks for you and Mike for recognising the importance of this bank of knowledge and how important it was to document before our rangatira eventually, eventually goes. So thank you, Kim. It's on RNZ's site. Easy to access then?
Yes, so you jump onto RNZ's website, click on video, and it's actually the first thing that comes up at the moment because it's in its launch week, so yeah.
Tēnā koe. Great catching up with you again. Kim, I see you're on the road to Kahungunu today. What's taking you to Kahungunu?
Mike Jonathan and I are doing some interviews with veterans for Anzac Day next year for Whakaata Māori. So, yep, we're still just going hundies, hoping that we can get home today if the roads are clear from snow through the Taupo Napier Highway.
Yeah, good on you, Kim. It's always neat having a kōrero with you too, Hene. Thanks so much, Kim.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe, ngā mihi. Kim Webby and Mike Jonathan, a couple of really talented filmmakers and creatives, and perhaps more importantly, beautiful people.